So first of all, I want to thank you all for being here this morning. I always say, you know, when people come out in the rain or they come out in the snow, it lets me know that they are not fair weather true students, but they are troopers. So I want you all to stand and give yourselves a standing ovation for that. Yes. I see you. So I thank you once again. I just love to see and look at you all and to be appreciative, to be thankful, to be grateful. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm rejoicing and being glad in it. Yes. I'm trying to live my life with gratitude for everything, for every moment, every second. I'm trying to say thank you. Thank you, I can get up and go get a glass of water. Yes. You know, thank you that I can go downstairs and make breakfast if I choose to. I'm grateful and thankful for everything. And it's really a powerful thing. So before we begin with our service this morning, we have an opportunity to welcome some beautiful souls, new souls into our midst with our new members' reception. So I'm going to invite you all to come and stand in the front here. For our new members, please. And you can stand right about there. That's good. Come so I can see your faces. Right about there. That's good. I'm keeping my distance, too. They're in the... all right. Wonderful. Well, let me just share with you, lovely ladies. We spent a wonderful week together. And on Zoom, so it's really nice to see you in person. That feels really good to feel your spirit and your vibrations. But I want to share what we always say when we receive new members into our midst. And I start with the scripture from Matthew 18, verse 20. And it says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And spiritually speaking, to be in the midst of someone, to be in the name is to be in the nature. So when we are gathering in this nature of the Christ, this nature of love, this nature of peace, and all the things that the divine represents and the Christ represents, then that presence is in the midst of all of us. So for Unity membership, there are no requirements other than a deep desire to know God, and to understand, love, and obey his laws of being. Unity offers no prescribed doctrine or creed other than to seek the truth and to follow the only commandments Jesus gave us. And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So Unity people unite so that they may more effectively minister to the needs of others and may benefit mutually through spiritual community and spiritual communion. We unite to work together, to help one another. We unite to join our prayers, our thoughts, our spiritual powers for the enrichment not only of our own lives, but to bless all humankind as well. For in this manner, we strive to be a force for good and to work for God in the world. In our unity of purpose and through our love of God, and now as dedicated truth students or students of truth, we believe that the revealment of truth comes direct from Spirit. And Spirit is the rock upon which the one and only Church of Christ is built. We believe that the church is not simply a place, but always a people. It's never simply a fold, but always a flock. Never just a sacred building, but always a believing assembly. The church is you who pray, not where you pray. And there's nothing in this world more sacred than the sanctuary and the heart of the human soul, dedicated, open to the presence of God. And so we are grateful because unity means oneness, and unity is this real gathering in the spirit of oneness. We're grateful and thankful that you have chosen to become part of this community, because now, as true students who are individual students on your own journey, know this, that you are no more strangers or sojourners alone, but you are fellow citizens of the household of God. And Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all are built together for a habitation of God in spirit. And that last sentence comes from Ephesians 2, verse 19. So, beloved ones, I say to you, walk worthily in the calling to which you have been called, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is only one body, one Spirit, even as you were called into the hope of your calling. There's only one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, one Mother of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That comes from Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And so, be ye renewed now in the spirit of your heart and mind, and put on the new person that after God has been created in righteousness and in holiness and in the truth. We are grateful. And so I want you to open up your hearts as we ask people to stand up and we confer and bless them with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this, we have an individual who is joining us and who is joining the church from New Zealand. And so we want to give her some love too. And so when you're sending out love to these beloved souls, send some out to Libby Koya. We bless you. We know that you're watching. I've asked you to tune in. So we here from Washington, D.C. are extending our hand of fellowship. And there's her picture. Love to you, Miss Libby. So we're going to affirm three times for them. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Together,
receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit.
And so, beloved ones, it is my privilege on behalf of this wonderful membership to receive you into the full and active membership of this church and extending to you the right hand of fellowship. And I leave you with this scripture from Psalms 133, which says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. So put Libby's picture back up so I can give her her. All right, Libby. We've not had people from New Zealand join, so we're honored. So we want to welcome Miss Patricia Askew-Thomas. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We asked Miss Libby how she found us, and somehow or another she got wind that a 12 Powers class was being taught. So she joined the 12 Powers class, and in joining it, she was sort of like, well, these are my people. I know what they're saying. Okay, I enjoy what they're saying, and it felt good to her. And she decided that she wanted to take the new members class. So, you know, when God has you to do a particular thing, there's nothing that can stop you. You will be on your way. You will find your good. You will find your place. You will be directed from on high, even if you are a continent away. God is able to do that. And so, yes, I'm just thrilled about that, that we can reach far and wide. So, once again, how are you all doing today? Excellent. Wonderful. That's what I like to hear. Good, good, good. I want to continue this morning with our series on amplifying your light and how to maneuver through these challenging times. Because we certainly want to garner all of our skills and our abilities, you know, both spiritual and practical, so that we can use them to meet whatever it is we must face. Because we want to be resilient and we want to be resourceful. Does anyone here not want to be resilient? We want to be resilient. Let me hear you from, I am resilient and resourceful.
I am resilient and resourceful.
Yes, that's what we need at these times. Because things really have been, you know, they've been coming at us at lightning speed. Sweeping changes that are happening in real time and having a real life effect on people's lives and their livelihood, especially those souls who live in the District of Columbia, which is the seat of the federal government. So there's, you know, things are topsy-turvy, and things are happening around the country where people are feeling it, but I believe that there are so many in this particular center, Washington, D.C. area, that are really feeling all of these changes. Now, a lot of pundits and political analysts and historians, they are saying that this rapid and sweeping change that is happening is done by design. It is done by design. And its purpose is to keep us off guard, distracted, overwhelmed, numbed out, and feeling disengaged. Because if we can be disengaged to a certain degree, that means that they can have a greater control over us. And so this is by design. And it's not to say that we won't feel any of those things, being upended, feeling a little distracted, overwhelmed. We may do that, but not to the degree that we want to totally just disengage and say, I don't care what happens. No, no, no. That's the purpose, but we have a bigger purpose, another purpose. So we've got to find a way or several ways to be able to handle the onslaught of negative and challenging changes that will continue, right? Ways to keep our spirit open, fresh, on point, durable, right? Ready to move at a moment's notice, to be able to choose, to act, to be fluid. If changes are coming in a way that is exceedingly fair, we're going to be fluid. We've got to learn how to go with that flow and move and make these changes that are ours to make. And to make sure that our inner world, our inner feelings, our inner domain is solid. And oddly enough, there's a spiritual concept that will enable us to do all of those things. And it is the art of spiritual detachment. Now, I know that when we, at a glance, we may think and feel that the word detachment is sort of tantamount to spiritual bypassing, meaning, well, I'm just going to pray about it, which we should. But we may think that detachment or spiritual detachment is just plain resignation, non-caring, or being out of touch, or being closed down, shut down. I'm going to put the cover over my head and wait till this is all over. That might be a certain type of detachment. But just the opposite is true when we are practicing spiritual detachment. Listen to what G.P. Chat said about spiritual detachment. Spiritual detachment refers to the practice of letting go of emotional attachments and material desires in order to achieve a higher state of consciousness or inner peace. So the purpose is completely different than just covering the head, stop the world, I want to get off. No, spiritual detachment refers to the practice of letting go of emotional attachment and material desires in order to achieve a higher state of consciousness and inner peace. It involves recognizing that many of our attachments can lead to suffering and distraction. And by detaching from them, individuals can cultivate a deeper connection with their true self or the universe. This concept is often found in various spiritual traditions. It encourages mindfulness, acceptance, and a focus on the present moment. By practicing spiritual detachment, one can experience greater freedom, clarity, and a sense of purpose. It is not about becoming indifferent or apathetic, but rather about finding balance and understanding the transient nature of life. Now, I love that definition because, you know, it tells us this is a spiritual approach to enable us to do all these things, to feel freedom, to get clarity of mind, to have a sense of purpose, right? It's not about just detaching and letting everything go. It's more like an opening up to whatever is present and really getting in touch with, and I love the last sentence, but rather about finding balance and understanding the transient nature of life. And what is transient about life? What is the transient thing in life and about life? That's right. I think somebody said it, but it's always changing. It is always changing, always morphing into something new, moment by moment by moment. We are not the same people we were when we came in here. We're different. We're always changing moment to moment. And the key to really finding balance and understanding in a life that's constantly changing, and especially now, is to never get attached to life remaining the same. Don't get attached, because that's not going to happen. It will change. It will change. And usually the crux of our suffering comes about because we're either wanting things to remain the same, or we are resisting whatever is and wanting whatever is to be different. So either we want it to stay the same, or we want things that are to be different. Either way, it involves a certain amount of suffering. And when I say resistance to what is, I'm not talking about as a political action of resistance, because we're going to need to do some of that. I'm talking about resisting what is, meaning, you know, it's raining out. We could go and try to resist, oh my gosh, it's raining. Why is it raining? And I'm going to get wet, the blah, blah, blah. It's raining. To resist that, what is to cause inner suffering. Because now you're kvetching about it's raining. Yes, it's raining. So we accept that. Now what do we need to do? Right? Get an umbrella. Whatever it is. But to resist what is to cause you suffering. Or to want whatever is and has shown up, to constantly be there, never change, is to cause you suffering. Life is transitory, changing, shifting, evolving, growing. And so in order for us to maintain a level of peace of mind, we need to know how to be comfortable with the transient nature of life. Or as they say in Buddhism, the impermanence of life. Nothing is going to stay the same. Nothing will last forever. save God. Right? Everything changes. And so once we get into this swing, then we're open to that. We're not so attached to the way things are. So when you practice detachment, spiritual detachment, you're able to be present to what is without being triggered or emotionally caught up in wanting things to either remain the same or fearing that things are changing and then being stressed out either way, right? When we get triggered, we know usually when you get triggered, very few things good happen. Now, we can get triggered to some good responses, but usually when we get triggered, it's something that is either unsettling to our spirit or we feel unhealed or something. And to move about making choices from a triggered state of mind is not a good thing. We don't want that. And also to be caught up in some emotional situation and then try to make choices out of our emotionally charged energy and mind without necessarily having the sense of our intellect and wisdom and guidance, that's not a good thing either. And so what we want, friends, what we want to be open. We want to be present to what is without being clouded by undue emotions or fear or resistance or the need and want to cling to something the way it is. We want to be able to experience a thing and then let it go. To experience something and let it go. To get the lesson and the blessing so that we can be present and ready for whatever is next, whatever life wants to bring to us in the next facet of our experience. So we want to have the experience. And we want to feel the feelings because we do have, in the midst of our spirituality, we have our humanity. And part of being human means we're going to have some feelings. We have thoughts and feelings, and perceptions and values, all of that. So we want to be able to feel the feelings because, you know, feelings give us a clue as to something that's taking place within us. Whenever we have a strong reaction or strong feelings, it gives us information and a clue to what may be going on within us. So we want to have feelings. So I say, feel the feelings. But after you feel the feelings, after you have the experience, let them go. Do not get stuck in your feelings. You ever meet people who are stuck in their feelings? Something happened and they cannot let it go. You harmed me and hurt me 25 years ago. And so now when I see you in the supermarket, I'm still feeling angry at you or mad or whatever. We're stuck in our feeling nature. Feelings are not bad things, but they are not meant to keep us imprisoned to that experience. We are meant to have an experience and have the experience. And release and let go, get the lesson, get the blessing, and move on. When we keep getting stuck in the feelings, you know what it's called? Resentment builds up. And a resentment is a resent. You resent that energy to yourself again and again and again. You resent the hurt. You resent whatever, the fear, whatever it is that you're feeling that is not necessarily good, but you keep repeating it. You keep resenting it to yourself, and you are stuck in that place. Feelings are just to alert you that there's something you want to do about your situation or your circumstance. We want to be able to grow. We want to be able to have this wonderful opportunity and not necessarily get attached to our feelings. Feel them and release them. Now, this is a process, right? But if you keep doing it, what happens is you're able to experience a level of detachment that eliminates clutter from your mind and from your heart. Because sometimes we're stuck. We have the same, not only thought patterns that keep taking up space, unproductive space, because we've been thinking about this thing for 50 years. We've been feeling this thing. You're taking up and cluttering your mind. Instead, in its place, you want to have an experience where you're not cluttered, that you've had it, you can release it, and you're open, you're fresh, you're ready, right? You want to be open and receptive in your consciousness and in your mind to be able to get or to receive guidance and direction. Sometimes you can't receive it because you got so much stuff stuck in here, stuffed in here that you're holding on to, and it's cluttering your mind. So we want to be able to be, when you practice spiritual detachment, you're able to keep your mind clear a little bit. You're letting go so there's more room for the experience. And you can make then higher choices, better choices, choices not based on a triggered response, choices not based on an emotional reaction or emotional cloudiness. And you can stay in the present moment and then be ready to move with the flow of the energy that is available to you. There's always, we've been talking about, there's always energy available to you that you can grab on, use, and apply to move you out of your situation, to bring healing, to get decisions. Okay. You went into work and that you've been told that you don't have a job any longer. Well, that's going to be startling to your spirit. Feel it. Be with it. Allow it to be. But then let that emotion and that energy go so that you now can be a clear vessel to hear, okay, what's next? What do I need to do now? Not from a, oh, what do I need to do now? But really from a place of centeredness, okay. Do I sign the letter or do I not sign the letter? What do I need to do? And for those kinds of things, you need a clear mind. You don't need to be having runaway emotions that'll make you make a decision that you're not happy with. So this whole idea, as a light bearer, as a true student, we're practicing some things. So you might have to detach after you've had that experience with those feelings, then feel it and release. Let go so that the mind can be clear and you can be available. You have yourself to be available to the energy because the guidance is there. We talked about that last week, right? Divine guidance is always being given. But if your mind and head are so cluttered with fear and anxiety, whatever, you don't hear it. So feel that, the shock, and say, okay. However long it is for you, maybe a day or two, but you need to lay that aside and now be present. Detach from that undue emotion and get clear in your head. So we want to free ourselves from this emotional roller coaster that is taking place because every day is something new. Now they're attacking Social Security. Now they're doing this. And when I find them, I'm like, woo, woo, woo. And it's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. I finally had to tell myself, don't get hung up on that because if it's something that's going to affect you, you will know it. You will know it. You know, be still and let God guide you. Is this the time you need to take your money out of the bank? Spirit said, get your money out of the bank and put it in your other retirement or your credit, you know, your retirement fund. You know, that came to me. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I called my person and I said, look, I want to transfer my money out of this bank here because if it's in my retirement company, I don't believe that they can touch people's personal retirement. But that thought came to me in a quiet moment. You know what I'm saying? So we're being guided. Don't get up into the roller coaster. Because from a calm, open space, we can let God guide us. Don't get caught up in fear. Don't get caught up in worry about the future. You know, let that be. Simply, as we talked last week, simply ask your higher self, your God self, your divine self, your Christ self, ask what is needed for you to do, to know, or to experience in this present moment, and then stay present to that moment. Do not necessarily fall into worrying about the future. Who knows? We don't know how it's going to end and what will happen, because it has not yet happened. And so if you're worrying, then take that as a sign that you might need to detach and surrender. If you're worrying and you got a lot of pressure on worrying, take it as a sign, oh, I need to surrender this thought, this feeling. I need to give this situation to God. Oh, I need to turn this over. I need to be able to listen for guidance if you find yourself worrying or in fear. We know the statement says, if you worry, don't pray. Because you're worrying about praying. You're going to bring more of what you are worrying about into your existence. Don't pray. But if you pray, what? Don't worry. So we've got to get ourselves clear. When I recognized and felt myself worrying about a few things, I said, uh-oh, that's a signal. See, I'm monitoring my inner space at all times. So when I find, it's not that I'm not going to have things to worry about. I got a lot on my plate right now. And when I find myself sort of off base, I said, uh-oh, I'm trying to recognize. I said, you're moving into worry. You need to give this feeling and this thought to God. You need to stay out of God's business and let that unfold. And while I'm worrying, maybe I need to ask for what it is that I want, what it is that I need. But I don't need to go down the rabbit hole of the what ifs and how it's going to look and in the future, because I don't know the future. I could be here tomorrow, gone tomorrow. Who knows? Be present to this moment. This is what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians verse 12, and I love this one. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. And there's some scriptures say that God's grace is sufficient unto the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's another scripture that says, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, it says, for tomorrow's troubles will take care of themselves. Be present today. God's grace is sufficient unto us today, in this moment, in this situation, and that is enough. And then it says that for my power is made perfect in weakness, meaning that God's love, God's favor, God's grace, God's power is enough to meet us, especially when we are at our weakest moment. My grace is sufficient unto you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So surrender. Let it go. And this is what it says, and I just read this to the new members class when we were talking about prayer. And this one comes from the New Living Translation. It's Matthew 6, verse 25 to 33. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly not care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It's a powerful scripture. It's reminding us not to get caught up in whatever is happening in the outer. We have to address the changes. We have to move within them, yes, and make decisions about our lives. But we don't want to be swamped and overcome and in a state of confusion and worry. God is going to work this out. I don't know how. You know that song on the internet that says, I don't know how? God's going to do it. But I only know God's going to do it. Now, I want to figure out what's my part. Where do I need to be? Do I need to look for a new job? Do I have to? What is it, God, that I need to do given the circumstances that I am experiencing right now? So God is doing God's part, and God will direct you from on high in the present moment. That's why it's so important to stay in the present moment, because God is whispering constantly, do this, go here, do. So stay in the present moment. God is going to guide you in the moment. And when you are working with your attachment or being unattached to things, when you are praying and when you are working with it, don't be attached to a particular outcome. Because that may lead to more suffering. Again, we might be looking over here. Okay, I pray, but God, I'm over here. And God said, I got what you need over here. You need to take your eyes off of that and move it here. So we pray, we affirm, we declare what it is we need and want. But then you need to back off, back away, and let God bring whatever is needed in the way and the manner that it is needed. Maybe you needed to be at another job. Maybe God has something. I don't know. We don't know, but we listen and not get attached to an outcome, because when we're attached to a particular outcome, we cut ourselves off from what may be a far better outcome that is established by God. When we pray in New Thought, sometimes we say, this Lord, or what? Something better. Don't box God in. Your arms are too short to box with God. But don't box God in. This Lord, you can affirm what you want, claim what you want, but leave it open enough for God to move and move you where you need to be. And you might not know what that is right now, but we're working with the trusting. So when you can allow yourself to detach from the outcome, then you will find peace in the process. Right? Peace in the process. And life is what? Life is a process. So this is about trusting the process, trusting God. And I said, this is a formula. We're going to stay calm, ask, listen, and move. Stay calm, be centered, and when you're detached, there's a calmness that can come. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to direct. I am open and receptive. Stay calm. Ask what it is you need. Then listen for the guidance. And then move with the Spirit. The definition, I wanted to read it again, of spiritual detachment. Let me read it again. It says spiritual detachment refers to the practice of letting go of emotional attachment. But I love this thing. Well, okay, that's nice, but it's time to release that. We're going on to something else. Well, I love so-and-so. Yes, but they left. You know, many of people have been, you know, all thrown off their whole game because they were so attached. Okay, they gone. You got to be open, right? So it says, it's the practice of letting go of emotional attachments and material desires. So you can desire something, but don't get hung up. It has to be this house, this car, this thing. Detach from the material desires in order to achieve a higher state of consciousness and inner peace. I'm going to let this go and detach. It involves recognizing that many of our attachments can lead one to suffering and distraction. And by detaching from them, individuals can cultivate a deeper connection with their true self and or the universe or God. What is it that you need to detach from? What is leaving your life right now? Perhaps it is time that it must be released so that you are creating a space for the Spirit to fill you, to guide you, and to direct you to a greater expression and greater good. This concept is often found in various spiritual traditions. It encourages mindfulness. When you detach and let go, your mind is not clouded. I'm going to be present, watching what is happening, watching my thoughts, watching my feelings. It encourages acceptance. All right, I'm not going to resist this. This has already happened. I wish it didn't. I wish the outcome was different. I wish we had a different situation. But we got what we have right now in this moment. I'm not even going to say how long it's going to be because we don't know. People say, oh, next 4 years. You don't know. It might not be 4 years. Right? So it says it encourages mindfulness, acceptance, and a focus on the present moment. And I've been using that a lot. It's like I use Eckhart Tolle's statement when he says, well, what right now? Are you in pain right now? And I have to go, no. What's happening right now? Right now, I'm okay. So then stay with the now. I'm okay. And even if I have discomfort, I'm like, what's the experience? Oh, I got a little discomfort. I wasn't feeling that best this morning. And I had to just stay with it. But I also said, okay, it is what it is. Let me move through that. Let me set up some things that in case I need to sit down, I call Tracy. I said, give me my chair in case I feel like I need to sit down. I'm going to sit down and hold this mic and we're going to keep going. Right? I don't know, but I want to make sure that I am open and receptive to whatever is. And then it says, so it encourages mindfulness, acceptance, and a focus on the present moment. By practicing spiritual detachment, one can experience greater freedom, clarity, and a sense of purpose. So you're not all cluttered up. What's your purpose? Be in the moment. God is speaking to you right now. He's guiding. Get on that track, and you'll be on your purpose. And it said it's not about being indifferent or apathetic. Let's be clear about that. Detachment is not about spiritual bypassing. But it's rather, it says, about finding balance and understanding the transient nature of life. Okay, things are changing in my life right now. Certain things must need to go. But things go and things what? Come. It's a process. So we're going to approach this process from a spiritual perspective. And we might need to practice spiritual detachment, the willingness to let it go, let go. Don't struggle and fight against what is, let go and see what is coming through and for you. And when I was thinking about this, I said, well, how often do you have to practice spiritual detachment? How many times? And I said, well, whenever you get caught up in suffering, whenever you're feeling overwhelmed, whenever you are in a state of anxiety, or maybe you're in a state of fear and worry, or you're in a state of confusion, or you're lacking guidance and direction, you may need to practice detachment, giving it to God. And how many times do you have to do that? As many times as called for. When the Bible said, the disciple asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? What did he say? 70 times 70. The man said, 7 times 70? He said, 70 times, meaning we might have to keep detaching, keep letting go, keep refresh, keep doing that over and over. Keep letting go, keep releasing your fears, keep releasing your worries. It's not that you're not going to have them, but when they pop up and you're through self-awareness, you see them, release that. Keep surrendering, right? Keep surrendering everything to God. I give you these feelings. I give you these emotions. I give you these errant thoughts. I give you all of this. I'm surrendering. Keep trusting. Keep trusting the process. Keep trusting God. Keep listening. Keep moving when it's time to move. Keep being still when it's time to be still. Keep monitoring your inner state and then making appropriate adjustments to bring you back to center, back to calm. Back to truth. Sometimes I have to ask myself when I'm caught up, is this the truth? And when I realize that it's not, then I get back to center. I have to surrender. I have to let go. All of that. And I'm being present to the moment. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's time, friends. We're going to have to let go and let God. We're going to have to stay calm, but yet carry on. We got this. Yes? Yes. We got this. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Oh, blessings. Blessings. Thank you. Blessings, blessings.